Finish. Some of you don't believe me, so let's say it together. Ready? We are going to finish. At least we pray that way, and we'll hope and pray and believing. Proverbs 22 and verse 1, and I'm looking forward to finishing. You've been up and down a couple of times. I always feel bad for making you stand. Not always, just sometimes. So I'm going to have you remain seated. I listened to a preacher say it today. Why don't you go ahead and remain standing? And I thought, remain seated. I thought, it's okay. You mean it's okay to sometimes sit down? And I didn't know that wasn't like a full-on rule in the law, but apparently it's okay. So I'm going to have you remain seated. Unless you want to, you can stand by yourself if you want to, but we're going to read this passage of Scripture, Proverbs 22. Did I say that? Proverbs 22 and verse 1. And I want to break it up a little bit. Randy, I want you to read it one time, okay? And then Robert, I want you to read it out loud. Okay, do that. Do you have it on your Bible? Okay, you brought your Bible tonight. That's awesome. Very good. Okay, I'm proud of you. So I want you to read it one time. And Dave, then I want you to read it one time, you know, like you do at the boys' ranch, but nicer. Okay, don't read it like I do it. Don't be a bully in the pulpit. I just want you to listen, and I want you to read along when I read it. Okay, Brother Sorrentino, hit it. Okay. Now, Dave's got a cool voice, man. He could tell you a good night story, and you'd be like, you'd be out that quick. You've got a good radio voice. You should announce for the Giants. Maybe they'd win or something. Maybe this year. Let's read it out loud together. Ready? A good name is rather to be chosen than and loving favor. Lord, thanks for your word, and thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit of God to help us to understand it. Lord, even as I read yesterday, I believe, maybe the day before, we can't understand it without it being spiritually discerned. Lord, it's impossible for the unsaved mind to fathom all that you are trying to say without understanding who the Holy Spirit is and having him. And Lord, so we're thankful tonight that we have the Holy Spirit, because if we don't have the Holy Spirit, the Bible says we're none of his. So Lord, in the light of truth, we pray that you'd guide us into all truth by thy Holy Spirit and give us wisdom to rightly divide it and help us, Lord, to make the right choices in life. Pray that you'll use me in a very usual way for your Spirit tonight, that you do it by your filling. And Lord, that means I need your help to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain. And help me to be cautious. Help me to yield to the Spirit tonight everything I have, that I would be a vessel meet for the Master's use, and that you'd use me to be a blessing to your people. Thank you, Lord, for these, the flock of God at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. I pray that you'd minister to our needs now through the Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, as I was sitting there listening to Brother Lee pray and praying along with him, God reminded me of something. When we go down through our prayer list and we see all of the burdens and we hear of all the different circumstances, I think of these some 200 or more people that are going to lose their job tomorrow, and they don't even know who they are. You think of the person that was told today that they have lung cancer, and you think of all that happens in life that we don't choose. All the circumstances that happened. Kirk got hurt while he was on the job. He's been hurt for some time, and he didn't choose to get hurt. It just happened. All kinds of things like that have happened. Jake didn't choose to have appendicitis and go get his appendix taken out in the hospital this last week. All the difficult things in life that we don't choose, and God reminds us in times of prayer and times of burden that, hey, I just want to remind you, though you may not have chosen this and they're not in your hands, they are a part of my plan. No matter what you read about, no matter what happens, if it's not in your hands, that's okay if you're a child of God, because it's in the plan of God. So there are a lot of things in our life that we don't choose, and God says, hey, for what you don't choose, I just want you to trust me. But what you do choose, now you have to live with your choice. The Bible says here, a good name is rather to be chosen. You see, the pursuit is a choice. The idea that I would actually care about my spiritual reputation is a choice that I make. That's not in God's control. That's in my control. Is everybody okay tonight? That's not in God's control. That's in my control. You see, God did give me the power to select, Dave. He did give me the power to choose. And anybody that decides to tell you otherwise is just not Bible. They're not even thinking right. It's heresy. God gives us things to choose. So we better mind our choices. God says, the things that you don't choose, I want you to trust me for. And I hope that you'll choose the right things that I lay before you. Now, just as in Moses' day, God puts before us each and every day of our lives a blessing, George, and a curse. A blessing if I obey, and a curse if I choose otherwise. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, and we sing about it, but that's all a result of whether we choose. God says, I'm trying to direct your choice here. I'm trying to give you wisdom. I'm trying to give you the right things to go after. And so he says, look, rather than pursuing the physical attire of the world, or rather than trying to pursue the riches of this world, or even the loving favor of this world, I want you to pursue me. I want you to pursue the right name. I want you to pursue a name that's worthy of my name, because that's the best name. And so he says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor that is of God rather than silver or gold. And last week we talked about four notable characteristics and we got through two of them. We said to choose to go after a godly reputation, or we said to choose to build a godly character. Well, we said, first of all, we saw the preferable investment. God says it's better to have a godly testimony than all the riches in the world. It's a preferable testimony. We said letter A, a good life is built on godly character. And letter B, a good name is not built overnight. And we listed the Berean Christians, the Philippian givers, and we listed Moses and Enoch that walked with God for 300 years. You just don't wake up one day after being saved the day before and all of a sudden you have a godly character. You have to invest in it, and it's preferable, God says. Secondly, we said not only is this name of having a good and godly name a preferable investment, we said it's a perpetual investment. One of the most powerful illustrations we could ever hope for was the illustration of Mary and taking the alabaster box and anointing Jesus' body. And we said, you know, this perpetual investment has to do with our memory. And we talked about having an epitaph. And what are people saying about me after I'm gone? I can guarantee you probably the same things they're saying about you while you're alive. So we've got to mind our ways. We must ask God to teach us to number our days that we may give ourselves to wisdom and separate ourselves so that we could be inclined unto wisdom according to the Bible. This epitaph of Epaphras in Colossians 4 and verse 12, who always laboring fervent for you in prayers that you may stand perfect. Epaphras didn't have to go to the church of Colossae and say, hey, I just want you to know, you should be erecting a tower for me outside because I'm your prayer warrior. He didn't send him a card and say, hey, I prayed for you so that you could think about how wonderful a Christian I am. No, that was what the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, said about this man. And that was his name. The beautiful epitaph, he had strove for them in prayer. We said this perpetual investment, when we decide that we're going to build a godly character, it provides, letter A, a past example. We see in the Bible that people should be able to look back at our life and say, hey, that is what I want to do. We look back at all kinds of people who play sports back in the past, and we think of the DiMaggio's and the Ruths, and we think of the Abdul-Jabbar's and the Larry Bird's and all these people in the past and how they played. And a lot of people in the athletics world would look at these people and say, man, I hope I can be like that one day. And I hope I can grow up to shoot baskets like that one day. Or I hope I can throw a football like that one day. Or I hope I can run like that one day. But spiritually speaking, we should be able to look back at some gospel giants and say, I want to be like that guy for God. And that's what the Bible teaches us. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel's been gone a long time. I'll preach about him Sunday night about the Lord's table. And yet his testimony is still speaking. Enoch had this testimony before his translation that he pleased God. What a great statement. That provides us with a past example. Secondly, we said it gives us a future inspiration. I said when I read about Epaphras, what does it make me want to do? As I've tried to since last Wednesday night even more abundantly, I want to labor in prayer. I thought about it today as we were driving soul winning. I said, Lord, I want to pray for our people. I want you to do a work in our people. I don't want to just pray for your house specifically. I want to pray for our church collectively. In these coming days leading up to revival, I want to bolster that. I want to pray. I want to take your name to God. I want to lift you up. I want God to do a work in your heart. When I read that about Epaphras, not that I want it to be said about me, but I want to have a work that's going to last forever. That perpetual investment that continues to go on and feeds and feeds and feeds. And then we said letter C, it provides us with an individual hope. You see, whatsoever things were aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I can look at somebody who may have even failed and may have even fallen, but because they had the Holy Spirit of God in them, they rose up again. They just didn't stay fallen down like a Peter. Many of us can side and can associate and can appreciate Peter's failure and successes because he didn't quit. Oh, he could have. He went fishing, and for all intents and purposes, the idea is that, well, maybe this is just what God has planned now, and we'll just have to wait. And the Lord appeared to him and said, wait a minute, Peter, don't you love me? If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he's saying. I didn't ordain you so that you could go be a fisher of fish. I ordained you and trained you to be a fisher of men. Now go do it. Gives us hope, does it not, when we read the Scriptures that even in the church at Corinth, when a man failed, he was able to be forgiven and restored. John Mark walked away from Paul, and Barnabas' strife was so strong, the Bible uses the word sharp, that they parted. Barnabas took John Mark, and he left, the man of consolation, and Paul took Silas, and they went on and did great things for God. And then later on, after Paul had seemingly wrote John Mark off, he said, bring him to me because he's profitable. God didn't give up on John Mark, and we shouldn't give up on anybody else. Gives us hope. Number three, I want you to see this perpetual investment becomes a very powerful investment. You see, when we decide that we're going to actually live for the name of Jesus Christ, then our life takes on a different mold altogether. It takes on a different life. It takes on a different meaning. It takes on a different purpose. It takes on an eternal value to God. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. God says, I value the way you live in this life more than all the riches of this world combined. Whether it's quality or quantity you're searching for, God says, I value it more. Which means it's more powerful. You see, there's a name which is above every name, and that is the best name of all. It's Jesus. For the Christian who is advancing the cause of God's grace in their life, they are being attached to that name. I'll say it again. For the Christian who is advancing the cause of grace in their life, they're being attached to the name which is above every name. Our name, which is attached to our lives, is powerful then in its influence. People took note that Moses had been with God. The Bible says they took note that ignorant and unlearned human beings had been with Jesus. They marveled at their lives and how they, those people, turned the world upside down. How? By their life. Because no matter what happened to them, you couldn't stop them. The gospel just kept spilling out and the power of God just was evident and people's lives were being touched all over the place. Multitudes of people. The Bible says throughout the New Testament, And of these people, not a few. You remember reading that, if you're keeping up in your reading? And of these people, not a few. And of these people, not a few. What does that mean? Many. It's powerful. Your influence is powerful. A good name is powerful. Let me share with you a couple of thoughts briefly, since the time is almost gone. A good name is influential toward the gospel. A good name, that is a godly reputation. Somebody that looks at you and says, man, that person, if I've ever seen one, is a child of God. That person is a Christian, if I've ever seen one. That makes a difference, and I don't know what it is, but I've got to find out. No man, H.A. Ironside said, I think you have this quote in your notes, no name is more lasting and enduring than that won by him who lives for God and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ counts all earth has to offer as dung and dross. That's a name that's powerful. That's a life that means something. That's a life that's making a difference. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. You see, it's influential toward the gospel. Secondly, it's directional toward God. It's directional toward God. You see, the way you live for Christ tells everyone about Christ in you. Whether he really is the hope of glory, whether he really is that good shepherd that leads us into green pastures and beside still waters, if his commandments are grievous or not, if his yoke is easy or not, or if he can be trusted. Everything about my life for Jesus Christ has a direction, and it's up toward the Lord as long as I'm living that way. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The light that people see in you and I, then, is a reflection of the light of God in us. It is the light of God's Word that is being worked out in our lives. It is the light of God's Word that is coming through in our marriages, that is dwelling in our homes, that is at work and moving freely in our church. That light shines in us as we do God's bidding, as we submit to His Word. Our life, then, guides people to God. Or tragically repels from God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, the Bible says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Your life gives people reason to follow you or not to follow you. Well, we could say it this way. Your life gives people reason to follow you, but where are they following you to? So God says, hey, not everything in life is choosable. I am sovereignly governing over things that you don't choose, but the choices that you do have, let me just advise you here. It's a preferable investment. It's a perpetual investment that I should invest in something that is as powerful as a godly reputation. If people follow you, where would you be leading them? I hope it's to heaven, church. A disciple of Christ is going somewhere and with someone. Philip went and got Nathanael. Andrew went and got Peter. Does your name cause people to think of Jesus? Listen carefully, because the name of Jesus changes lives. Someone wrote, be good at the depths of you. And you will discover that those who surround you will be good even to the same depths. Therein lies a force that has no name, a spiritual rivalry that has no resistance. That's power. That's the Spirit of God working in us and through us. This investment is preferable, it's perpetual, and it's powerful. Fourthly, and I'm done, it's presentable. What happens when God says, okay, I'm giving you this power to choose like he did Adam, like he did Abel and Cain, like he did David, like he did Joseph. You say, wait a minute, Joseph didn't choose to go to prison. No, but he gave Joseph the choice of how he was going to respond to it. It's So the things that you do get to choose, God says, I want you to know that I'm taking notes. You're going to give an account. You're going to present all of the justifiable reasons why you made the choices that you made before me at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Now, praise the Lord, we don't have to account for our sin. That's already been nailed to the cross. Hallelujah. But we do have to give an account for our choices. The Bible indicates that there will be a Bema Seat judgment for those that are saved. And so it should matter how we choose. Once your life becomes a stewardship of God's grace, you will desire to invest in eternal things. I said, once your life becomes a stewardship of God's grace, you will desire to invest in eternal things, in durable riches, true riches, riches that you will be able to present to the Lord in confidence. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. I will stand before God and I will have all of my ducks in a row. I will have all my papers. I will have all the filings of all the choices that I've made. And I'm going to stand there. The Bible says, naked and wide open before God. I have no other reasons, but everything that I bring to Him, I have to be ready. And Troy, I'm going to give Him all of my reasons why I made the choices that I made. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold. By the way, the foundation is Christ. He's already established that. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Wait, say, wait a minute, where's the choices? Listen, you get to make the choice whether it's wood, hay, or stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. That's the choice that you and I make. Then the Bible says, every man's work, verse 13, shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So I want to appeal to you in the next 5 minutes about how can I then make the right choices. I'm glad that you asked that. I was waiting for that. Listen, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So what's the fear of God? What do I stand to lose? That'll tell you your description of fear. Do you actually believe that there are consequences for making bad choices? That's the beginning of wisdom. I fear losing this. I fear disappointing this. I fear sinning against God. That's the beginning of wisdom. According to God, hallelujah, it's not the end of it though. I have to start somewhere, so I've got to reverence the fact that my God is holy and He's given me good advice. So what do I need to have? Then what can help me in this life to be presentable before the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to submit to you four things. First of all, a pure heart. I'll just say this. I have heard that phrase stated since I went to Bible college in January of 1998, probably no less than 500 times. And it's true. A pure heart, you could write this down, a pure heart goes a long way. Listen to Job 2 and verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Job had a pure heart before Satan was loosed on him. Now listen to what he said in Job 27 and verse 6. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. That is him looking in the face of a holy God and saying, God, try me in my integrity. I choose Christ. That's what he's saying. Look, Satan can move all of hell against me, but I shall not be moved. Why? Because he is at my right hand. I have put the Lord always before me. Yea, I shall not be moved. That was Job's statement. Why? Because he had a pure heart. A pure heart goes a long way at the judgment seat of Christ. Would you agree? Secondly, a clear conscience. Pure heart tells you your motive. A clear conscience means you made the right decision. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Holding faith in a good conscience, which some watch, having put away, that is the good conscience, concerning faith, have made shipwreck. That tells you their choice. They're going to get to the Bema seat and they're going to say, well, I just, poof, gone. Wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's going to give an account for the work on the things done in the body, whether they be good or the evil. And those choices that I cannot substantiate outside of the wisdom of God will vanish. So how do I have something presentable? A good name apparently is presentable. I can't do that without a pure heart. I'm not going to have a good name without a pure heart. I'm certainly never going to have a good name outside of a clear conscience. Thirdly, a willing life. A willing life. What does God want you to do tonight? Spiritually speaking, have you said to the Lord today, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do today? I'm not talking about 10 years, 15 years, and I can appreciate someone who wants to plan. But God, what do you have for me today? What do you want me to do today? How do you want me to live today? How do you want me to respond today? That's what I'm talking about. And then in the process of that, whatever God leads us to do, we would do well to trust Him and obey Him. And in the process, guess what happens? We gain a godly character. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3, the Bible says, this is just a wonderful statement. For speaking of these churches in Macedonia, which the core of that is the church of Philippi, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Man, it was apparent in what I read in Acts that when Paul received of these saints in Macedonia, no matter what happened along the way, he had a duty and an obligation. Woe was unto him if he didn't take what those people had willingly done for them in their sacrifice for the saints that were in need. If he did not deliver that to them, he knew he was doing them a great disservice. They were willing to do it, so I'm willing to sacrifice myself in order to get it there. That was a powerful influence on Paul's life. Paul had an influence on their life. They were willing and sacrificial to give so that others may have and share in the gospel of Christ, that there would be fruit to bear to their account. Why? Because they were willing. Look, the fact of the matter is, if we're going to get involved in a greater work, we've got to be willing to do it. We've got to be yielded. Okay, God, what is it that you would have me to do today? Who is it that you would have me speak to do? A willing life. Fourthly, a diligent hand. A diligent hand. It goes back to what I said about every Christian should be on time or early at work. Every Christian should work harder than anybody else at work. Somebody help me. They better work harder than anybody else at work. They better be more honest than anybody else at work. Come on, help me. They better be the best employee at work. And they better be the best bosses. Because whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, if I do it with all my might, don't you think somebody along the line is going to figure out, hey, he's not doing it for the money? I saw tonight on the news briefly something about the Wounded Warrior Project. I had no idea, but did you know the CEO of that nonprofit makes $500,000 a year in salary? I was like, and now, granted, he said it's less than 0.1% of all the money that they take in annually. I understand that. But I have a hard time believing that that guy is motivated just out of care. He's got 500,000 reasons that he looks at annually. Now maybe that's where it started, but I'm going to tell you, folks, when you get blessed, it's hard to stay right with God. Did everybody listen to me? God pours out blessings. Listen, it's hard to stay right with God. I start thinking to myself, man, if good name is rather to be chosen than $500,000 a year, I'll choose a good name. Because $500,000 a year doesn't glorify Jesus Christ. A good name does. That's what I can take to God. I'm not going to take my W-2 statements and say, but look what I made, God. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to have my life. Everything done in secret is going to be open before the Lord. And every motive and every intention and every choice that I've made, whether of what sort of work it is, that's my choice. It's got to be presentable. And if the Word of God is true, as I believe that it is, then the Bible tells us in 1 John 2 and verse 28, now little children, abide in me, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, not be ashamed before him at his coming. I don't know, but every time I read that verse, I tremble. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I don't want to be ashamed. Teenagers, listen to me. Don't be ashamed when you stand before Christ. Don't do it. Live for the Lord, and you won't be ashamed. 2 years ago, this month, my mother went home to be with her Savior. And she left behind a testimony that's still speaking. She being dead, still yet speaketh. She was able to present her eternal riches before the Lord in heaven because she presented her body a living sacrifice on earth. You and I will be able to set before our Heavenly Father eternal riches, those things that are durable, those gold, silver, the precious stones, because of our choices, if we give our lives on this earth as a living sacrifice. God says, hey, some things you can't choose, but the things that you can choose, know that you're going to be accountable for them, and I want you to make right choices. A good name is rather to be chosen. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for the truth that discerns the thoughts and intents of every heart of mankind. And God, it is by your Spirit that we understand those things, and we're thankful for the illumination tonight. We ask that you would take the Word of God now and help us as sinful creatures, Lord, saints that have been saved, help us to hide that Word in our heart. God, may we have something to present to you that will last for eternity, like a godly reputation at the throne of grace. I pray that you'd help us to make right choices today and tomorrow. In Jesus' name I pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand together. I've taken a few minutes tonight, too long, and I apologize for that, but I did want to make sure that we have this truth in our heart. And when you think about how you're living, what does God say about your life?